I would hope and trust that you had a good weekend. We have a couple of updates for you, legislative, regulatory, and as well as a brief update about some of our events and council. And so let's start today with Eli Joseph, our Deputy Chief Advocacy Officer. And just don't forget to mute your phones unless you're speaking, and we'll open up the floor for questions at the conclusion. Okay, go ahead, Eli, sorry about that.
Thank you, Lauren. Good morning, everyone. As you are aware, late Friday evening, the House passed the HEROES Act. We were pleased that the bill contained such measures as $1 billion for the CDFI fund and other CUNA-supported clarifications to previous relief packages. But, you know, it was a mixed bag for sure. There were other provisions that either encumbered credit unions' ability to support their members and their communities, and still others that were left out of the package entirely, but would have greatly enhanced credit unions' ability to serve those in need. This was very much the first step, and would assure it to be a long process. It gives the Senate a starting point from which they will begin work this week. We look forward to working with members of both the House and the Senate as the work continues to pass COVID-19-related legislation. In the Senate this week, we'll also see the Senate Banking Committee hold an oversight hearing into the CARES Act. This will be the first of a series of quarterly hearings. This one will include Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and Fed Chair Jerome Powell, who will be testifying. And we're sure to hear about senators' questions and concerns over the Paycheck Protection Program and other aspects of the CARES Act. In the House this week, a couple of meetings that I wanted to highlight for you. The House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Communications Technology will be holding a teleconference forum with FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai to discuss consumer protection, broadband, and spectrum issues related to COVID-19. On Wednesday, the House Committee on Small Business will hold a virtual forum entitled The Effects of COVID-19 on Rural Economies. And also on Thursday in the Small Business Subcommittee on Innovation, they'll be holding a virtual forum, Business Interruption Insurance, With that, Lauren, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you so much, Eli, for that update. Moving right along, this week is into a board meeting, and here to talk a little bit about that agenda is Luke Martone, our Senior Director of Advocacy and Counsel.
Thanks, Lauren. I just wanted to mention the items that are on the agenda for this week's meeting. The board will hear a briefing on the quarterly report of the Share Insurance Fund. And then there are two interim final rules. One is on overdraft policy, and the other is on prompt corrective action. So we are not exactly sure what those will entail, but the board will be addressing those two interim final rules, as well as a proposed rule on joint ownership share accounts. So we will be following the meeting as usual and putting out a summary immediately following the conclusion of the meeting. And I'd be happy to take any questions now or at the end of the call. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Luke. And another regulatory update, as you all probably saw, CUNA wrote to the SBA Friday with comments on operational and legal issues that are stemming from the implementation of the PPP. And here to talk about that is Lance Noggle, our Senior Director of Advocacy for Payments and Cybersecurity.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Lauren. Good morning, everybody. So CUNA sent a letter to the SBA addressing issues we have with the Payment Protection Program, PPP, lending program. And a lot of it is just to do with challenges, probably a lot stemming from just how rapidly they put this program in place. And the one unique thing about this letter was that the SBA has continued to put out interim final rules, which they just put guidance in. So you'll see a lot of different interim final rules out for comments. In reality, it's all the same program. So we commented one time for four or five of these and put them together. So besides just some of the operational issues that we've discussed in the past, and two concerns our members have moving forward, is just how they calculate and forms and processes with loan forgiveness, because that'll be happening soon. So that's something that unique to this lending program is it really works like a grant if you meet certain requirements. So it's something that most financial institutions haven't done in the past is loan forgiveness. So our members have concerns, want to see more guidance and a lot more details on how that's going to work. And also just liability moving forward. We don't think our members should be liable for loans they made in good faith for issues with the program in general. A credit union can be sued if they're or become part of a lawsuit if someone sues over ways that the program is administered. That has nothing to do with the credit union. So they need to do something to remove liability for financial institutions. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate that. And just finally, I sent out a few announcements, press releases regarding new webinars, Lending Aid School, and training bundle that CUNA has announced and launched. And here just to talk a little bit about that is Todd Stavinsky, our Chief Products and Services Officer.
Thank you, Lauren. Good morning, everyone. As Lauren said, as in-person, face-to-face schools and conferences remain on a temporary hiatus, we are clearly seeing credit unions are turning to alternative training mediums for their board leadership and staff professional development. CUNA has seen a strong increase in both our new and returning users in all of our digital platforms. Since late last year through today, CUNA has seen a 72% increase in the number of online courses completed through our CPD Online Learning Management System. And note that CPD Online is our premier web-based training services for credit unions. The most popular online courses where we're seeing the most traction right now is on working and leading remotely, no surprise there, identity theft, regulation CC, elder financial abuse, financial health, and just a wide array of compliance-related online courses. Additionally, our CUNA training bundle, that training bundle is, as Lauren alluded to, provides unlimited access to all of CUNA's webinars and e-schools. And we have a whole host of new ones that are being released weekly. That has seen tremendous growth as well. The usage of webinars and that training bundle has jumped 265% since the first of the year. So clearly credit unions are pivoting to this digital and alternative training mediums. The most popular webinars have been on financial health and empathy. As Lauren alluded to, we also have a lending webinar coming up, e-school coming up. We've had a tremendous uptick in COVID-specific compliance webinars and managing a remote workforce and collections. You can learn about all of these hosts of programs through our online and digital platforms by going to cuna.org/learning. And I'm happy to entertain any questions.
Thank you so much, Todd. And before we wrap up the call, I just wanted to open the floor, as usual, for any questions, immediate questions while on the call. Okay, well, no problem. You know where to find me. Just give me a buzz on my cell or via email. We'd be happy to answer any questions. As always, we'll keep you updated as things progress throughout the week. And we thank you so much for joining and taking the time to be with us every Monday. And thank you to our experts for leading today's call. I hope that you all have a wonderful day and a very productive week. Thank you so much and continue to be safe and in good health. Bye-bye.